Faith Middleton, thanks so much for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. This is a fresh edition of The Book Show, and my book buddies are here, Roxanne Cody, Rose Cuiello, and Lee Jacobus. Roxanne, do you want to start us off? Because as you know, we are very interested. You know, it's so fun that this show, we decided to make this into a call-in, because we get to hear from you as you listen. We know lots of you are reading and love a story. Then you call us and tell us about that book. And that's word of mouth. That's how the popularity of a great read and the excitement of that read, you know, the drama, whatever it might be that is gem-like about that story. That's how you share that feeling with other people. And so our number is 203-776-9677. We'd love to hear from book clubs because, you know, you're meeting regularly to discuss your books. Roxanne.
Okay, so.
Go ahead. Yep.
I, every once in a while, talk about a book that I think you must read. So I have one of those books, but here's what's weird. I don't even know that I can explain it to you. So I'll explain the impact of it.
I will just read it.
Well, that's the goal. So the name of it is The Ocean at the End of the Lane, a novel by Neil Gaiman. So Neil Gaiman is like this hot, cool, enigmatic guy. I've never read him. Courtney McCarroll, who's our communications director, said to me, Rox, this book changed my life. You need to read it. You just need to read it. So I read it. So it's science fiction-y, fable-y. Kevin said, I often read in the middle of the night. He said he's never seen me read this intently. So here's what I would tell you it's about. It's about the importance of retaining childhood qualities, like a lack of guile, like an iconoclasticness, like a sense of imagination. That's one big quality about it. And the other is about the role of fear. And how fear is generally something bigger than we think it is, but it stops us. And it made me think about this idea that fear of failure actually might ensure failure.
Mm-hmm. It stops risk-taking, in other words.
Exactly, exactly. So everybody has to read this book. It's called The Ocean at the End of the Lane, by Neil Gaiman. I cannot stop thinking about it.
The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. Ben, Faith Middleton and the gang, welcome to the book show. Go ahead, Ben. Ben, are you there? Okay, for whatever reason, I think Ben's listening on the car radio, and we can't get to his call. So try us again, Ben, 203-776-9677, or maybe one of those bad cell phone signals that happens to everybody. Wanted to let you know that the National Book Award winners have been announced, and it's like the Oscars for the book world, one of them anyway. And so we see that who the fiction winner is. And before I tell you who that is, I would like to give one of our Facebook people who's written in to us on Facebook an award as the winner.
Oh.
I'm talking about James Seldner. He says, I would like to recommend James McBride's The Good Lord Bird. It is a novel about two characters. One's a 12-year-old African slave nicknamed Onion, who's forced to masquerade as a female. And the other is John Brown, the abolitionist. The story leads up to the raid on Harper's Ferry in 1859. Nearly every page contains ironic humor and tender life lessons. Well, that So well said, James Seldner. And also, I'm giving you some kind of a bragging rights because guess who won for fiction the National Book Award? James McBride, The Good Lord Bird. So you have great taste, James. So that's great. That was in fiction. Also in nonfiction, the winner of the National Book Award, George Packer, The Unwinding, An Inner History of the New America. I thought, you know, I had seen the lists of all the people who were nominated, the finalists, and I was rooting for a couple of others, and I thought for sure this one would get it. And so these both were surprises to me. Mm. So 203-776-9677 here on The Book Show. Rose Quiello.
Faith, the other day I came across a book by NPR's Krista Tippett called Einstein's God, Conversations About Science and the Human Spirit. And I have to tell you, I came home, I put the book on the counter and read an entire interview. This is a collection of her interviews with people like Dr. Sherwin Newland, who talks about the human spirit, Dr. Oz, the famous Dr. Oz, who talks about the heart literally and metaphorically, James Moore, the Darwin biographer. But what this book did for me and what it I'm sure will do for everyone who picks it up is that it asks all the questions, and please excuse the cliche, but about the meaning of life. Why are we here? What is our purpose? And we find ourselves in these interviews, and they provide us with answers. Dr. Newland talking about his obsessional thoughts and how he had to free, how hard he worked to free himself from ideas that no longer serve us well as people. Lee said to me, "What are you doing Thanksgiving?" And I said, "Lee, I told everyone that I'm working so that I could stay home and finish two books, and this is one of them." Einstein's God by Krista Tippett. Wonderful.
All right, Casey, Einstein's God by Krista Tippett. And you'll find a list of books that my book buddies and I are recommending on our website, WNPR.org. Casey, welcome to the show. Casey, are you there? Oh, see, it's one of those crazy, crazy days. Now, it's either on our end or on Casey's end. But with two callers, this happening to two callers, I'm wondering. 203-776-9677 is our number. Why don't I give you the all clear and we'll see. So let me talk to the producer. Why not? So, Jonathan, are you noticing anything on... It's okay, so we don't know, we don't see anything on our end, so maybe this is just bad luck. So I would give it a try if I were you. 203-776-9677. Lee Jacobus.
Okay, for the last 3 days, I've been totally incommunicado, and that because I've been reading Wally Lamb's book, We Are Water.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, I've read Wally Lamb, of course, as most of us have read She's Come Undone, and this much I know is true and all. I read him like a writer, watching for everything he does, every word, everything that happens. And I tell you, this is really one remarkable and powerful book. He's astonishing for the way in which he can portray one of the main characters, Annie O, who is a woman filled with secrets and filled with terrors of various kinds, at different points in not only in her life, child and an adult, but even at different moments in her life in relationship to her divorce and to her impending marriage.
So having said that, how does that story or this book enlarge you?
Well, it gives me an insight into people whose lives I really can't help but care about. You know, the Greeks always said that it's families that make the greatest stories. The great Greek dramas are always family dramas. And some of them, like Oedipus Rex, have a family secret that's terrifying and eventually does damage to the whole family. This is a book that's filled with secrets in families. And, you know, there's a metaphor that's going throughout the whole book. I kept thinking it would erupt sometime. It's the great white whales that are off the coast. I'm sorry, great white sharks off the coast of Cape Cod. They never do anything, but, you know, they're like the secrets underneath the surface, waiting to strike at any moment. And the secrets that are under the surface of this family are there, and they eventually come out and strike like a whale and cause incredible havoc. This is an amazingly powerful study of a family, and it's one I can't help but recommend to anyone interested in great literature. It's Wally Lamb's We Are Water, and it's just out. It is truly powerful.
Okay. We Are Water by Wally Lamb, who was just on our show for a call-in show, and we had a great conversation, and he is about the best person.
Yes, he certainly
is. Also wanted to, I realized I forgot to mention in the National Book Awards that the prize was given for poetry, and Mary Sibbist, I think that's how you say her name, is one for Incarnadine. Her collection of poems. So congratulations to all those folks. Here's a book that we have had the best time reading. It's called 1,227 Quite Interesting Facts to Blow Your Socks Off. And so we had so much fun with this that we've decided that we're going to do a call-in show on this book, and inviting people to give us their interesting facts, and maybe to tell us what they think is true and what's false. We've got the authors coming on, so that is coming up this Monday at 3:00 on the Faith Middleton Show. So really fun reading. One of those books you can just pick up and put down. For instance, I'm just going to open it randomly. Buzz Aldrin's mother's maiden name was Moon.
Oh.
Like this.
I love that.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any callers we can leave hanging in the air? No. Okay. 203-776-9677, Roxanne.
So speaking of Einstein, one of my favorite geniuses is a man by the name of Doug Stone. He's here at Yale as the head of the physics department. And, you know, the thing I love about Doug is he always wants to make believe that you'll understand what he's talking about. And sometimes he's right and you learn, and sometimes he just makes you want to learn. So he has a new book out called Einstein and the Quantum, The Quest of the Valian Schwabian, which Einstein was. So he said, really, Rox, you're going to really find that you can read this thing. So I read it. And I love the way he explains Einstein and the world of physics, because he loves people. So he really understands what the world was like going on, you know, the petty rivalries, the incredible collaborations. And I almost started to understand a very little bit about quantum physics. So it's the kind of book that I really, really enjoyed reading. And I have, like, question marks, and Doug's going to, I think, give me private tutorials. But for anybody curious about Einstein as a man, the world of science at that time, and science in general, I urge you to read it. It's called Einstein and the Quantum, and it's about quantum physics.
Isn't it interesting how Einstein was not only a genius in terms of science, but had this ability to express things about our humanity that were so beautiful and so lasting.
Well, and you know, his impact on quantum physics, which is not what we think of him being incidental to quantum physics and really think of the theory of relativity, but what Doug shows is he actually was a huge instigator of that work starting. And so this sort of resurrects his role in the discovery of quantum physics. It was great. And there's a picture in there of Einstein. And you know, when I used to read that he was this bon vivant ladies' man, I'm going, really? Even with all that, those bad hair days?
But all the things.
Oh, no. There's a picture in there of him.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And you get it. And then he's a genius.
I was going to say, such a humanist genius.
What's more intoxicating than that?
Exactly. Okay. We're going to take a short break here on the book show. And, of course, theoretically, we'd love to hear from you. But we're just going to keep talking about books till we figure out what's going on with the phone. So stick around. I'm Faith Middleton, and you can join the conversation with us, which might be a good idea, on Facebook. Just search The Faith Middleton Show. You can also tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR. Okay, so I'm trying not to become absolutely hysterical, because sometimes things just happen, and it starts a kind of cascade of all these things going wrong. So I came into the studio, had all these notes. I left them out on my office in my office chair. And so I was going to launch right in at the beginning of the show. So I was fumbling around a little bit. Then we couldn't get the callers. I still can't. So we really need you on Facebook and to tweet us, because we want to tell everybody about great books. I'm stumbling in my conversation throughout the show. It's just one of those days. Okay. Eileen Matthews Dolan on Facebook says, "My book club just finished two memoirs by An Chi Minh, Red Azalea and The Cooked Seed. It is hard to imagine the childhood of this woman growing up in China during Mao's Cultural Revolution." Ooh, I know someone who did that, and I know what you're talking about. "Children were sent to labor camps. Professionals were sent to the countryside to live with the peasants. And peasants were told they were capable of anything as long as they recited Mao's teachings, including surgery. The first book is about her childhood in China. Amazingly, she was able to come to the United States, and she explains that in her second book. These books help us take an important new look at what it means to be Americans." That is a Facebook comment from Eileen Matthews Dolan. Thank you so much for that. The books, again, by An Chi Minh, M-I-N, Red Azalea and The Cooked Seed. Okay, Roxanne, what do you have?
Well, I picked up Donna Tartt's new book, Goldfinch. It's an 800-page or almost 800-page book. And I would say she's a genius. Maybe a little odd and a little dark, but it opens with a story of Theo, who is being suspended from school. He goes with his mother on that day to a museum, and there's a bomber there, and his mother's killed. And he leaves with the Goldfinch, a painting from the 1700s, to save it because it's his mother's favorite painting. I would say this novel is then epic about Theo's life. And Donna Tartt has this ability to use very small, granular descriptions of things in ways that put you in that place. And Theo goes on to live a life that is sad, shocking, exciting, a lot of things. But you just marvel at her writing. You marvel at the story. You marvel at the breadth of the story that she's telling. This character to me and this story is classic. It feels very Dickensian, Dickensian.
Yeah. The reviews that she is getting for this book.
She deserves them.
And then reading interviews with her, I've become so fascinated with her as a person.
So it's called Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. And if you want a book that you're just going to disappear into, this is it.
That sounds good to me. I wanted to mention quickly that I have decided I'm just working very hard, and I thought I need something that just is going to take me out of this world. So, Lee, you know what I did.
I know,
all you
did.
Have to do is mention anything to me about MI5 or MI6 you know, the CIA. And so along comes this book that not only puts the two of them together, which is thrilling to me, but also the author, Matthew Dunn, was really in these agencies. He spent years in MI6 as a field operative, working on some of the West's most clandestine missions. And so all of these great thriller writers say about him, could anyone, you know, this isn't someone making stuff up. He's really using, he knows what this stuff is really like. Anyway, it's called, so I'm in about a third of the way into it, but I'm having a great time. Spycatcher. Matthew Dunn. Okay. Rose Quiello.
Faith, I've been teaching this book for a few years, and it's still on the bestseller list. It's called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and it's by Rebecca Skloot. Now, when I was in nursing school, I learned all about HeLa cells, H-E for Henrietta and L-A for Lacks, but no name was ever mentioned. And we now find out that they were Henrietta Lacks, a black woman from Baltimore's. They were her cells. Dr. Guy, her physician, brought them to the lab. They reproduced, made millions of dollars. And, So they have this huge pharmaceutical industry, and now Henrietta Lacks and her family never made a penny off of it. It raises all kinds of issues about ethics, about race, about moral obligation, and it's a wonderful read, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
I just wanted to mention, Rose, that this book is now out in paperback, and when it first came out in hardback, I remember, Roxanne, I think you were the person to say, this doesn't sound like one of those stories. Rose, you have a medical background in addition to being a professor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would pick you for a book like this. But, Roxanne, you were saying this is for everybody. And, of course, it was on the bestseller list and probably still is as a paperback.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a Facebook comment from Anastasia Noel. I loved a book called A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. It's a little longer, but I couldn't put it down and read it in record time. So I can't tell you what Discovery of Witches is all about or even what category it's in. But Anastasia, thank you so much for that. Also, a Facebook message from Jami Jakota Cooney, who says, my daughter is writing a memoir. She's looking to get it published. It's all poetry about her struggles to live through being bullied in school. Mm. Her poems are riveting and true. She really has developed herself as a writer. Any suggestions? And it reminded me of something that I read in a collection of essays with authors about how and why they write. And James Frey, who was in All That Trouble with Oprah, and then they had a forgiveness session. James Frey said at the end of his essay, one of the tenets now in my writing life is you should just skip right over the publishing world and publish everything yourself. You don't need them. And I was so stunned that he said this in this book and said that right out there. I can think there are a million people who wouldn't agree with him or might say, well, you're saying that because you had such a difficult time with the publishing world. You know, there was some debate about whether whose fault it was with his memoir, whether they had pushed him or whether, you know, he's the one. And I think he's saying, I was forced to do what I did. Who knows? Mm. But I would say, first of all, I'm interested in your daughter's poetry and that she's chosen this, a format like this. And so, Lee Jacobus, you know about small publishing.
My advice to him is to buy a book called Aiming at Amazon, and it will teach you how to produce your own book and put it online instantly.
Okay.
And sell it anywhere you want it in the world.
I mean, this then involves marketing and distribution.
Well, no, Amazon does it for you. I mean, all you need to do is write a book, and then, as I said, Aiming at Amazon is a very inexpensive book that teaches you how to do the whole thing, and people are doing this all the time.
Okay. Well, so I think I might jump in on that one. So I have two points of view. One is I think self-publishing and big publishers or small publishers, but publishing in general, can and need to exist. I think what publishers do and what they add is enormous. They gatekeepers? They're gatekeepers of a sort. And I think that we have developed this kind of misleading understanding of self-publishing because you have a few blockbusters that make, but most of the people self-publishing are having a hard time finding traction. They're selling for 99 cents, and maybe that's fine. You sell 1,000 copies and you pick up, $1,000. There are lots of ways that you can self-publish. Amazon is one, not one that I'm a fan of. You could go to RJ Joya's, and we provide self-publishing services and make sure it gets posted. There are other independents
that do that.
Yeah. So we have a program now that does that. But I would, to this person, I would say, absolutely, you start by just getting the work out there and self-publishing it, whether you use Amazon or RJ Julia's or other services that are out there.
Yeah,
it's poetry.
And if you do this, by the way, if this girl does this, I think it's a girl, and if she does, I please send me a copy of that book. Because I want to hear in her voice what that feels like. So we can spread the word.
Sure.
So this is the perfect setup, if you don't mind me jumping in, for this book, which is called A Paper Cut Christmas, Legends of the Gift Giver. And this is a Connecticut author, Martha Link Walsh, spelled just like it's.
I love her.
Yes.
So what she's done is she's spent since the time she was little, because Christmas was such a big celebration in her family, and her family tried to do, instill all these traditions in the home about Christmas. She spent her life, Martha did, researching the history of gift giving. And how this attaches to these figures in all these traditions, all these cultures across the world. So she's been doing this for 40 years.
Wow.
What does she end up doing? She's in bed for a long time with an illness as a young person. They give her scissors and paper. She became so good at it. She became a true paper cutting artist, and the work she does as a paper cutter is so beautiful. She's in Branford, Connecticut. Anyway, she self-published this book because it was hard to find someone in this day and age who wants to, I don't know why, because I think the history of, Santa Claus, that we know and think of, that face, the suit and everything. It started with the Coca-Cola Company in the 1940s. And so if you go back and look at her paper cuttings of all these traditions and religions, you see that Santa's not the same. Sometimes it's horses. Sometimes it's reindeers. There are birds. And then she gives you an essay about how gift giving is seen in Ireland or in Russia. It's great. Mm. Self-published. I just love that she did this. And so you can go online to Martha Link, L-I-N-K, Walsh, W-A-L-S-H. So there you go. Whose turn is it? Lee Jacobus.
It's winter coming, and you want a good big book that's going to take a long time to read. And I just finished – this is 600 pages long. I just finished Marisha Pessel. It's P-E-S-S-L. Her book called Night Film. It's a fascinating book. She's the book who did the special topics in calamity physics, which I talked about probably a couple of years ago. I also enjoyed. Marisha Pessel is a brilliant writer, a real wordsmith, a really fascinating wordplay that she can develop without being cute or silly. She's just very smart. And this is an extraordinary mystery. There's no murder in involved. It's not killing. It's a mystery trying to unravel the background of a filmmaker who is known as for his horror films. This is a riff on Kubrick, but not that he does that kind of film necessarily. But it's a beautiful riff on it. And it's about a guy named Scott McGrath, a journalist who's trying to figure out what happened to Ashley Cordova, the daughter of Stanislaus Cordova, who has created a world that is hermetic and sealed and has fans everywhere because of the incredible mysteries that he and horror films that he creates. And Ashley Cordova is a brilliant woman who dies mysteriously, and Scott wants to know why. And he goes through an incredible barrage of problems to try to figure this out. It's like the closest thing I can compare it to is like one of those fascinating video games where you have to figure out how to open the door, open the window, get the lock. You know, the things that I can't do, but you are finding your way through it. It's like an old Bob Hope movie too. It's bizarre.
It's a combination that is just amazing.
It is. It's astonishing. Okay. And it's called Night Film, and it's by Marisha Pessel.
So, Lee, I have a question, because her reputation is, and I haven't read this one yet, is she's a very complicated writer, and people have a hard time getting through it, her first book. So think that was true? Now, we always have to remember that you're the smart guy in the room.
I'm not really.
And so would you say that this is tricky to get through?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, unfortunately, I just compared it to a video game that is tricky to get through. But what I mean is it has the same kind of mystery and the same kind of challenge for the character, not for me.
Okay.
Not for me as the reader, but for the character trying to get through all this stuff that he has to get through. He gets some buddies, they get involved. Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was a pretty straightforward book, but it's filled with dark humor and you know, mystery. I mean, it's a real mystery without all the trappings of ordinary, you know, what's her name? You know,
Sue Grafton?
Yeah, anyone. Grafton or any of the great mystery writers that are dealing with a mystery that has to be solved. This is just different, and it's fascinatingly different. Huh.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. We've got some Facebook messages, some tweets, and we thank you for that because our phones have gone down. We'll be right back with more of The Book Show. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. Thank you so much for listening to this fresh edition of The Book Show and for helping us out, because the phones went down on this particular show. And so we've got lots of tweets, lots of Facebook messages about books. So I'm going to go through some of those. But give me a break here, because something came in that just cracked me up. And it's about music. So it's about writing, because this is from a man. And his title to me is this: Retired Jewish physician with no musical training writes a Christmas carol for a chamber orchestra and chorus.
Yes.
And now, is that the way to grab somebody's attention?
Yes.
Well, it turns out to be the composer Albert Hurwitz, who never minds if I say his age, and he's written a new piece, and so it's called Are There Still Bells, and that's going to be December 22nd at Asylum Hill Congregational Church services. So we wanted to let you know about that. And I think it's twice in the morning they're going to be doing this piece with a big chorus. Anyway, Albie, what a fantastic line that is. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to find out about this? Very quickly, thank you for your Facebook messages. Just search The Faith Middleton Show. Molly Quinn Myers writes to say, The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. So she agrees with you, Roxanne. Can't put it down. 700 pages. It reads so quickly, intriguing, suspenseful, beautifully written. The actual painting of the goldfinch is currently on exhibit at the Frick in New York until January 19th. So that is great to know if you're reading it. What fun for you and your book club members to go on a little trip and go out to eat. Kyle Stevens writes to say on Facebook, on the topic of physics. I just finished The Quantum Universe by Brian Cox and Jeff Forshaw. It is without a doubt the best explanation of quantum physics I have ever read. It's very accessible to the non-mathematically inclined reader. So, Roxanne, this is new for your quantum physics shelf. Thank you, Kyle Stevens. And that, again, was Quantum Universe by Brian Cox and Jeff Forshaw. Okay, is it Roxanne's turn, I think?
Yeah, so I'd like to talk about a book called Snowflakes Fall. It's illustrated and written by Patricia McLaughlin and Stephen Kellogg, and they wrote it. They really felt compelled to write something in response to what happened in Sandy Hook last December 14th, and the profits from this book go to the Sandy Hook Fund. So what they do, using the snowflake as the basis for the story, is they talk about life's natural cycle, about joy and loss and the impact of loss. But then they use the snowflake about appreciating how different everybody is. And I think this can be read on a lot of different levels. If you're a little kid, you're going to read it on its most simple, basic level about snowflakes. If you're a little bit older, you're going to start to see the complexity about the differences among people. And if you're a grown-up, which some of us pretend or profess to be, you do get more about the arc of life. And it was touching to me. Kevin and I have been thinking about this a lot. His brother died just recently. Kevin and I started thinking, you know, now this is sad, not tragic. And you have to get used to loss, right? This is his brother. And you think about, when you read this book, you think about, how do you remain sensitive to loss that starts to happen as you age, but stay protective of being optimistic and hopeful about all that life has to offer. And I think that this book does a very lovely job of bringing those two things together. So it's called Snowflakes Fall by Patricia McLaughlin and Stephen Kellogg.
Snowflakes Fall. And again, the is it a portion of the proceeds? A portion of the proceeds go to the Newtown Fund that has been set up. Here's a message on Facebook from Julie Isidro, who says, Neil Gaiman has written for Doctor Who and Krista Tippett show On Being, and he's wonderful. I love both authors. Jennifer Goggin says, I just read Evening by Susan Minot, some haunting scenes of the significance one event can have on your life. We've talked about that theme on the show a lot, so we get what you mean about that. Pamela Joyce writes in to recommend a book called French Dirt, The Story of a Garden in the South of France by Richard Goodman. Loved it. Well, you know, I love books that take place in places I would like to be.
I love that book.
So I'm so glad, Pamela. French Dirt, The Story of a Garden in the South of France by Richard Goodman. Rose Quiello.
Faith, I want to thank you for Elizabeth Gilbert's book that you gave me, The Signature of All Things. Mm-hmm. This is Elizabeth Gilbert of Eat, Pray, Love, which I did not like at all. But what I loved was when she said she really was grateful for that book because she made a lot of money and it freed her up to write this ambitious work called The Signature of All Things. And this book spans two centuries. It's the story of the Whitaker family. Henry, as a young boy, is determined to make an awful lot of money, and he makes it as a botanist. And he has a daughter, Alma, who has an unquenchable thirst for knowledge, particularly mosses. And if anyone told me that I couldn't wait to get home at night to read about mosses, you know, I would deny it. But this book is extraordinary. Her writing sparkles.
And great reviews on this
book. Oh, my gosh. But I just want to read one sentence about Alma. She wanted to understand the world. world, and she made a habit of chasing down information to its last hiding place, as though the fate of nations were at stake in every instance.
And here's what I love that, Rosa.
Love that line.
Also, I read a thing where it said this: Alma is a clear-minded scientist of dogged perseverance. Ambrose, a utopian artist who longs for purity and communion. But what unites this couple is a shared passion for knowing, a desperate need to understand the workings of this world and the mechanisms behind all of life. So I just love that this has happened.
I'm very excited. This is why I, Elizabeth Gilbert, The Signature of All Things, that I will read on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, that's the other book.
That's the other one.
Okay. Bessie Reyna writes to us on Facebook. Hi, Bessie. Book Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson. If you want to understand what's happening in the Middle East now, read about how France, Britain, and the United States lied to steal this land. Facebook message from Bessie Reyna and that book, Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson. Lee Jacobus.
Okay. I went a little ballistic about a month ago when my computer totally broke down, and I followed exactly the pattern that you were describing. I wanted to get away from it all and read something really absorbing, light, and quick. And I read Robert B. Parker's Melancholy Baby and was delighted, just transported away. This is one of his Sonny Randall novels. Sonny Randall is a detective, of course, and she has a consulting detective like Sherlock Holmes, really. But what happens in this particular book is that her divorced husband, Richie, who she thought she was out of her life, decides to get married. And she absolutely goes wild. She doesn't know what to do. She wants to go out and kill the woman. And instead, she goes to Susan Silverman, who, of course, is Spencer's girlfriend and is a shrink. And she gets a terrific, some kind of recommendation and treatment and what have you. But in the process, she also picks up a client who starts to cause a tremendous havoc. So this is a book that is just in the perfect manner of Parker. No paragraph is more than five lines long. No chapter is more than three pages long. You just zoom through it, and it's a terrific book. It has terrific reviews, and it's marvelous. It's called Melancholy Baby. It's anything but melancholy. It's just like an electric shock. You just go right straight through it. It's terrific.
Oh, Robert Parker.
Yeah, he is wonderful.
I know you love him, Lee. Here's a message on Facebook. Just search the Faith Middleton Show to reach us. D. Shaw Cipher, I second the book Me Before You. Both characters are crippled by trauma, but only one is obvious. They both challenge each other to overcome the limitations of being emotionally and physically crippled. Often behind each other's backs, they develop an intimacy that able-bodied people most often don't get anywhere near. So that would be Me Before You. Helena Cutler says three great books by Sally Gunning: The Widow's War, Bound, and The Rebellion of Jane Clark. The series starts prior to the American Revolution in Brewster, Massachusetts. The lives of three strong women are intertwined in this set of books. So that would be by Sally Gunning, The Widow's War, Bound, and The Rebellion of Jane Clark. Thank you for those Facebook messages. Roxanne Cody.
I had lunch with a publisher the other day, and she said, you know, the editor told me to give you this book, and I said, Roxanne's not going to like this book. It's just sappy. I picked it up. It's by Alice Hoffman. It's called Survival Lessons. She didn't say it was sappy. She said it would be too syrupy for me. Well, I think it is fantastic. Alice Hoffman was diagnosed with breast cancer a number of years ago, and she realized she couldn't find anything that told her how to live, how to survive what was going on. And so, thankfully, I've never had to deal with that. But not only do I think, and I've asked other people who have dealt with this, think that it tells you how to survive, but it also tells those of us how to live, because it's a reminder about every minute mattering. And I think – and I love the book. Like, I love the physicality of the jacket, the size of the book, the paper.
Nice,
I love Alice Hoffman. I mean, there's hardly anything she writes that I don't love.
I like her, too.
I really do. And she's a wonderful human being.
Yeah. Heart and mind.
Exactly. So this is called Survival Lessons by Alice Hoffman.
Great. All right. And here is a message, a tweet from Bedsit, recommending Bedsit Disco Queen by Tracy Thorne, a nifty memoir of becoming a pop star and stepping back. It is smart and wry. That's from Monfrat. So a Bedsit Disco Queen by Tracy Thorne. I wanted to tell you about one thing quickly. This is from The Economist, and it's a book that has come out called The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 Books to Cure What Ails You. Right now, this describes, there is a service in Britain called Shelf Help. And you pay $130 in our money, £80, for an hourly chat with an insightful and dauntingly well-read, quote-unquote, therapist, who then crafts a bespoke reading list designed to meet someone's special needs. So, you know, whatever's going on in your life that you feel stressed, you feel whatever it might be. So it starts out saying, a patient complains of heartache, work stress, and a creepy sense of anomie, and the session ends with a prescription. Allie Smith's novel, There But For Thee, a darkly amusing book about a man who escapes a dinner party by locking himself in the host's spare bedroom, which he refuses to leave for months. You know, it's just hilarious. I mean, what a thing this is. It's like a 911 service, you know. Only they say, you know what you need to read? Isn't that a riot?
That is crazy. Yeah.
I know.
I might sign up just to see what they do.
It's so wonderful. And I guess the book is 751 Books to Cure What Ails You. And so I guess you must look by, it's 420 pages.
It's actually a book.
It's
a book. Novel Cure.
Yeah, exactly. It's a book. The Novel Cure. And I guess you probably go to sections for whatever your self-diagnosis is. Yeah. And then they tell you what to read. Bibliotherapy.
You know, Hallie Efron came out with a book like that a bunch of years ago that's sort of listy. You know, like a boyfriend just broke up with you or you want something romantic or...
Oprah's magazine does this a lot.
Yeah, you know, I get those.
Sure.
I get why people
fun.
Do that.
Yeah, really fun. You don't feel so alone with whatever's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
By the time you're done, it's past anyway. So Kathy Dietz-Pesch on Facebook says, recently loved Illuminations by Mary Sherrett, Three Women by Marge Piercy, Benediction by Kent Haruff, Dove Keepers, Alice Walker, and Annie Lamott's newest love, The Book Show. Oh, my God, that is so funny. Kathy Dietz-Pesch. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Mary Sherrett, Three Women by Marge Piercy, Benediction by Ken Haruff, and Dove Keepers by Alice Walker.
Hoffman. Alice Hoffman.
I'm sorry, Alice Hoffman. Okay, so whose turn? Roxanne. Oh, I'm sorry,
I just
Lee.
Went Rose.
Lee, go.
Lee.
Well, it's Rose, actually. No, okay. Very quickly, I read a wonderful book by Muriel Spark. Now, Muriel Spark wrote The Prime of Miss Jean Brody, and she wrote some other wonderful books, too. I always loved her early book where she – in fact, it was her first novel where she – the character stops writing and hears the echo of a typewriter in the back, realizes that someone upstairs is writing the story of her life as she's going along. It's a wonderful book. But this book is called The Finishing School, and it's about a couple who set up a finishing school in Switzerland, and they just have the most wild time. And kids just have they do bizarre things in Switzerland, and it's just really great. The Finishing School, funny as hell, and it's by Muriel Spark.
All right. And on Facebook, we heard from Diane Ballou, who said, I just finished The Girl You Left Behind by JoJo Moyers. It is a great book. We read it for my book club. So that is The Girl You Left Behind. I want to say thank you so much for your patience on today's show. It was kind of a bumpy ride. Our phones went down. You were terrific to send in tweets and messages on Facebook and to my book buddies, as always. Thank you for your recommendations. You've made me want to read so many things. So I'll be calling in sick for the next 6 months. Just want to let everybody know. As always, this show is about the richness of life. Thank you to our producers, Jonathan McNichol and Lori Mack. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Working on my rearrange.